This is fresh air. I guess I'm kind of tired of coming-of-age stories, so I was skeptical when I went to see the new film, Flirting. Now I've been recommending it to my friends. My guest is the film's writer and director, John Digen. Flirting is the second part of a trilogy. The Year My Voice Broke was the first. The main character of the films is Danny Embling, played by the young Australian actor Noah Taylor. Flirting is set in an Australian boarding school. Danny is the alienated one. In this scene, the girls' school from across the lake has come to watch a football match. While everyone cheers on their team, Danny is lost in a book. Three girls come to flirt with Danny and his friend.
Good match.
Yeah. Three badly injured so far.
You don't sound very patriotic.
No, I'm not.
Aren't you interested in football?
Only from an anthropological viewpoint.
What are you talking about?
It's a form of mating ritual.
What?
That's why you're here, isn't it?
You'd arranged. Incredibly rude. Did you know that?
Yeah, well, that's why I haven't got any friends.
I'm not surprised.
I take pity on him.
Well, I'd say it's wasted. Come on.
The third girl in the scene, who you didn't hear, is on Danny's wavelength. They soon become girlfriend and boyfriend. She's from Uganda and is stuck at the boarding school because her father is a visiting professor at a nearby university in Australia. I asked Digen to describe the arc of his trilogy.
The arc is keyed on the character of Danny Embling, who is the one who goes through the three films. And it's really starting off with somebody who is quite unformed from a remote country town, whose eyes and senses are wide open to the world, but whose knowledge of the world is tiny. And it's seeing him going through a series of journeys, soaking up influences like a sponge, and in some ways blossoming through that, but also perhaps in some ways losing certain qualities which perhaps later in life he might be able to identify.
I want to ask you what inspired the main characters in your new movie. Yeah, let's start with Danny, with the young man. He's a very kind of reflective person, kind of a nonconformist, stuttering, always carrying around books by Sartre or thinking about Camus. What inspired him?
I wanted to have a character who was something of an outsider and someone who was unformed at the beginning of the trilogy and who would go through the three films that form it and gradually evolve. His cultural awareness of the world is really quite limited, but on the other hand, he's very bright, a very perceptive guy, essentially an observer.
The other main character is a young woman named Tandewe, whose parents she's from Uganda. Her father is a university professor and an African nationalist. She's smart, she's sophisticated, she's confident, and she's attractive. She's really a wonderful character. Was she based on somebody who you once knew?
No, she wasn't, certainly as far as I'm aware. She's someone that I wanted to have a character who came from a completely different world to anything that Danny had experienced before. And so I chose Africa as the place where she comes from, because that's about as far away from Australia and Australian life as I thought you could find. Also, I was interested in the political opportunities that having a character from that part of the world gave me, and particularly coming from a former colony, the contrast and experience that she has had to the experiences that Danny has as a product of another very different kind of British colony.
Well, what she has to deal with in her country is, you know, dictators and imprisonment, assassinations. It opens up a whole new world to Danny to be exposed to this. Did anything like that ever happen to you, that you met somebody whose world was so different and in a way so much bigger and more dangerous?
For me, my experience, I suppose, that's closest to this one that he has was that when I was 10, I went out to Malaya, as it then was, and Malaya had just come through the period of the emergency where they had been fighting against the communists. So I had a sort of awareness of that kind of cathartic situation that had torn apart that country. But as far as I'm aware, again, I never met someone who has quite the set of effects that Tandoe triggers off in Danny, because as you say, it really is, the relationship really opens up a whole series of new perspectives to him.
How did you find Noah Taylor, who plays the main character in the trilogy?
I was very fortunate that I saw his photograph and I was able to just audition him in quite orthodox circumstances. The picture was shown to me by the casting agent that I was working with.
It was one of these kind of faceless press photos where it's like generic actor photo, or did he have more character in that?
I don't think he could ever really be a generic actor photo. He's such an idiosyncratic-looking young man that his face really jumps out from any photograph you look at. It was, I think, something that had been taken probably as a still for him as an actor, but it still was enough of his personality shone through it to make me immediately interested in him.
When you work with an actor for a couple of films and he's playing the same character, is it interesting to see how he's changed? I mean, did Noah Taylor change a lot between the first film that you made with him, The Year My Voice Broke, and the current film, Flirting?
He did in some ways. He's very different as an individual to the character he plays. He's really, in real life, he lives on the edge much more than the character of Danny. He's not so much an observer. He's more a doer. But I think, has a great compassion and an understanding for this character that he plays. He really enjoys playing Danny, and I think he, in a way, the very fact that he is so different allows him to be very committed in the way he plays the part. He has that great gift that the best film actors have of simplicity, but expressing a great depth in very economical ways.
Is the character of Danny a surrogate for you? Do you identify with him?
Oh, yes, I do. He's not a duplication of me. I mean, his experiences in some ways are similar, but my background is very different. I was born in England. I lived in Malaya. I did go to a boarding school that was very like St. Albans, and I used those experiences to as a background to the film. I really described the environment that I went to school in. We did have a sister school, as in Flirting. It wasn't across a lake, but we did do plays together. It was a way of actually meeting girls to participate in the plays. I used the character probably to describe something of my evolving sensibilities, I suppose, sometimes consciously, sometimes unconsciously. I suppose I am working things out through the character myself, but it's not autobiographical in that I can embroider things that happened to me, and I don't feel that I'm slavishly making my own story.
Well, I'm interested in your story. You were born in England, lived there for the first 10 years of your life. Why did your family move to Australia afterwards?
Well, my father was Australian. He had actually joined the Royal Air Force for World War II, as quite a lot of Australians did, and he married my mother, who was also in the Air Force during the war. And at the end of his Air Force career, he retired and returned to Australia with the family.
So, did you live in a small town in Australia, like your main character?
I went straight into boarding school, actually, but we were living in a smallish town, and a lot of my relatives live in places rather like the town of Borregaard, where Danny's character comes from. And I did spend time working on farms during my holidays, doing things like working in wool sheds and clearing land, this sort of thing.
If the boarding school you went to as soon as you got to Australia is anything like the provincial and repressive boarding school in your movie, it must have been a really disorienting experience to be in a new country and to, at the same time, be shut off from that country in this repressive boarding school.
The biggest single difference was the whole cultural thing of being a young English boy, because I had a very strong English accent, someone who'd played often very different sports to the ones that were played there. And I went through a similar kind of persecution that Danny goes through, I guess, until I managed to lose my English accent. But one of the differences between he and I is that I actually like sport very much, and I was very active in the sporting area. Whereas Danny is gently contemptuous of that part of the school life.
Your movie Flirting opens with a scene where several of the male students are getting caned. And it's the headmaster seems like a pretty sadistic kind of guy. Did you get caned a lot in school?
When I first went there, we would get caned methodically just about every week. When we were older, it was less frequent, but I still got two lots of six of the best on consecutive days shortly before I sat my final exams, which made it quite painful to sit down, actually. So the caning thing was, it was a very major part of the whole punishment system there, probably the major one.
How afraid of caning were you?
It actually got worse when you were about 11, which is what I was when I first went, because it was so common and it would happen to practically everybody. You wouldn't really mind much. You'd take it in your stride. Maybe they used to hit harder the older that you get. But we did have a teacher who would put chalk on his cane, as the one in the film does, in order to try and hit the same spot. And so that kind of interest in exacting the worst possible agony was very accurate. If he managed to hit the same spot three times, it would on occasions actually break the skin. It was very painful.
Did you complain to your parents about it, or did you just accept that's the way it is at boarding school?
You accept that that's the way it is, really. We never thought much of it.
My guest is John Dygan, writer and director of the new film Flirting. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Australian writer and director John Dygan. Now, I know you were involved in an experimental theater troupe when you were younger, and I'm wondering if you feel that you've kept that kind of sense of adventurousness of trying new things in your movies.
What I try to keep in the movies and that I do, and what I value most is the work with the actors, and I'm trying to always break through the elements of the mechanics of filmmaking that prevent acting from being as fresh and as real as it can be.
Did you try acting on film yourself so that you understood it better from the actor's perspective before directing?
No, it wasn't as conscious as that. I was, in fact, expecting to be an actor and a writer rather than a director. The thought of directing was not something that, like many of the great directors, was not something that I had from the beginning.
So why did you start?
I was rather a self-indulgent actor, I think, and I felt that I needed quite a lot of help, and a lot of the directors that I worked with when I was starting off had come from very technical backgrounds, and they didn't actually give a lot of direction to the actors. They spent more time with the camera. This was these films are not particularly memorable films. They're mainly experimental films, but that sense of feeling that I needed help that I wasn't getting prompted me to feel that I could maybe redress that balance if I was working with actors as a director myself.
One last question. Are you hoping to get a multi-gazillion dollar offer from a big American company to come over here and make movies, or would you rather keep it small and keep it personal?
I think I will always make films that are considered small, if you like, that are focused primarily on character, because it's character-based films that interest me more, say, than films that star car chases. But, I mean, if I was offered a script which I really liked and that had a huge budget, it would be terrific. I certainly wouldn't knock it back now. I'd be delighted to have the opportunity of working on something that had a lengthy shooting schedule.
Well, we'll keep that in mind.
Okay.
Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks very much, Terry.
John Digen wrote and directed the film Flirting. This is Fresh Air.